Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I hope it sends the message that we have the same goals, all of us in the Republican Party.
Rudy Giuliani, as he accepted the endorsement of televangelist Pat Robertson yesterday. Today, federal prosecutors are expected to ask for an indictment against Giuliani's former police commissioner, Bernard Kerik, on conspiracy, corruption, and tax fraud charges. An endorsement and an indictment together. Do they make you wonder about Rudy Giuliani and the company he keeps? WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein is here now with some thoughts and context on the meaning of the day's news. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning.
First on Bernie Kerik. This was expected to happen today. Do you know if it has actually happened?
Well, the indictment is expected to be voted up today. Kerik himself would not be coming in for an arraignment until tomorrow if that were to happen. And we haven't had word yet that there has been an actual vote. In my experience, these things tend to sort of happen sometime in the afternoon.
And what exactly is he being accused of?
Well, this investigation, by all reports, stems from, begins with the allegation that he accepted more than $100,000 worth of renovations on his Bronx apartment from a company, Interstate, that was seeking a city license and that had been suspected by federal prosecutors in New Jersey of having ties to organized crime. However, it appears that it has extended beyond that to also looking at rent money that Kerik received while he was police commissioner from a friend who is not, so far as I know, expected of having any criminal or improper relationship with the authorities, but who apparently paid for Kerik's apartment while he was police commissioner. And this, the allegation is that Kerik did not report that as income. And then there's also a question of whether he was truthful when he applied for the Department of Homeland Security job or when he was considered for it.
Except for that one, was he Giuliani's police commissioner at the time that he allegedly committed these crimes?
Well, he was correction commissioner and then police commissioner. So he was the top law enforcer in the city of New York.
What has Giuliani been saying on the stump about his judgment in naming Kerik police commissioner and then promoting him for Homeland Security Secretary?
Well, he hasn't said a whole lot, except that last Monday he gave an interview to the Associated Press in New Hampshire in which he said that crime had been way reduced under Bernard Kerik, and he basically described these actions as mistakes. Now, Bernard Kerik was police commissioner from August 2000 until the end of 2001. In fact, crime dropped 8% during his tenure, and most of it had dropped under the prior police commissioners, Bill Bratton and Howard Safer.
How much can anyone hold Giuliani responsible for Kerik? And I guess that's the key political question that voters will have to decide for themselves. I mean, no employer can know all the secret foibles of his employees.
No, but I think that there were warning signs with Bernard Kerik. There is, first of all, indication that Giuliani's former investigation commissioner did approach him before he appointed Kerik police commissioner, at least told him about the allegations concerning Interstate. Now, nothing had been proven at the time, but it was an allegation. And Giuliani had initially said he knew nothing of it, but then in the course of this investigation, it appears that Edward Kuryansky, the former investigation commissioner, came forward and said, no, I did brief him on this before he was named police commissioner. But even looking further back than that, Kerik was a volunteer driver for Giuliani's campaign. He was a detective, third grade, with the NYPD at the time. And if you read Kerik's biography, I mean, Kerik is somebody who was a pretty tough guy. He talks about stealing lunch money off of his fellow middle school students. He talks about breaking people's fingers when he was in the Army. And he became a volunteer for Giuliani and was very, very rapidly promoted. His first position in the Giuliani administration was as investigations head in the Department of Correction. But then he became first deputy commissioner, skipping many, many levels. He became correction commissioner and he became police commissioner without a college degree. Now, by contrast, the current police commissioner has a degree from Harvard Law School. So there was somebody with a relative lack of experience and education who was appointed to the top law enforcement job in New York City.
What I have heard Giuliani say is, look, I didn't know about this stuff, and Kerik was a darn good police commissioner. He kept crime down, kept it going down, as had been started by the previous police commissioners.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that one can say that. I mean, it dropped 8%. Is that a lot? You know, was it following national trends? Is it due to Bernard Carrick? Perhaps. I mean, you know, a number of years ago, I had looked into the correction department at the time that Bernard Carrick was correction commissioner, and there was deep, deep unhappiness within the Department of Correction about his having been promoted to department head and about his judgment as department head. And, you know, whether, you know, Giuliani was paying any attention to this or would have even heard it had it been brought to him is one of the questions. I mean, I do think that it is a fair question in the context of a presidential campaign is if your former police commissioner, who he nurtured and mentored and was his protege and was a top advisor to him throughout his mayoralty and who he continued to do business with until the whole Department of Homeland Security thing happened, you know, the fact that he pulled him so close and despite of some warning signs, you know, does that reflect on who he would appoint as president of the United States?
WNYC's political director, Andrew Bernstein, with me as we talk about Rudy Giuliani and the company he keeps. On to brother Pat. Pat Robertson has been somewhat discredited as kind of an over-the-edge televangelist in recent years, saying things like Islamist terrorists are less of a threat to America than liberal judges, and 9/11 was God's punishment for gay rights, things to that effect. Those aren't exact quotes. We heard from our journalist friend from South Carolina in the last hour that he's still very influential there among potential Republican primary voters, more so, for example, than Bob Jones, who we usually think of as the big South Carolina conservative. Is his endorsement of Rudy Giuliani, as far as you can tell, a good thing politically for Giuliani nationwide?
Well, I think that there are I think that it reflects a number of things. I think it reflects what is already happening among Christian conservatives in the country, which is that Christian conservatives are concerned about a lot of things, abortion, gay marriage, certainly, but also terrorism. And that Giuliani has managed out on the campaign trail to make the argument that his stance against terrorism is more important than how he feels about abortion or gay rights. I mean, he's opposed to gay marriage like all the other Republican presidential candidates, so far as I know. But the question about, you know, so could Pat Robertson help him? Well, obviously, he and Mitt Romney believe so, because both of them really wanted to get that endorsement. And out on the trail, Mitt Romney constantly talks about his values. He talks about his five sons. He talks about his wife. He talks about family values. So obviously, there is a strain of the Republican electorate to whom these issues are important.
So let me play two clips. First, Robertson endorsing Giuliani.
It is my pleasure to announce my support for America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and a proven leader who is not afraid of what lies ahead and who will cast a hopeful vision for all Americans.
Very general terms there. And now Giuliani accepting the endorsement.
Having him aboard gives us a great deal of confidence because he has tremendous insights into what the main issues are, how they should be dealt with. His advice is invaluable, and his friendship even more invaluable.
So when we get into a general election, if it gets that far for Rudy Giuliani, then I guess there will be people standing up to say, come on, he got, and more importantly, happily accepted the endorsement of Pat Robertson.
I think that, you know, that could potentially be an issue. And I think one of the things is that Giuliani has been playing this campaign as I'm the not Mitt Romney. I'm not the guy who has unmoored myself from all my past principles. The endorsement of Pat Robertson, the endorsement of the judge, Judge Leslie Southwaite for the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was a very conservative record on consumer rights, gay rights, civil rights. These may lead people to question whether Rudy Giuliani, whether that's true, whether he has had some kind of election conversion, as has Mitt Romney. I think the problem for Giuliani is he's not on the map at all in Iowa. I mean, there's Mitt Romney and then he's back in the pack.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the front runner in New Hampshire. Mitt Romney is. And Giuliani's been very aggressively campaigning in New Hampshire, but I think that the campaign is beginning to make a calculation. Can we lose Iowa and lose New Hampshire and South Carolina and still make it alive to Super Tuesday? And I think that this kind of endorsement shows what the campaign is thinking about that.
Interesting. And there is a three-way dead heat in South Carolina as of this week, according to our guest last hour from the state newspaper down there, Romney, Giuliani, and Fred Thompson all basically tied for first. So we're talking about the company that Rudy Giuliani keeps. And another company he keeps story recently is his list of advisors on the Middle East, including super hawk neocons like Norman Podoretz, who is calling for military action against Iran now. So again, does this matter in either the primaries or the general if he gets the nomination?
Well, I think this maybe matters more than anything else. I mean, this is his advisory group that is advising him on foreign policy. I mean, sort of Pat Roberts, one could argue, is a strategic decision. And, you know, Carrick may say something about his judgment in the past, about the people he surrounded himself and how closely he would vet people in the future. But his group of advisors on Iran is people that do believe in immediate military action on Iran, very, very conservative group. And that presumably tells you about what he would do if elected president. I mean, after all, Rudy Giuliani recently said if there was any evidence of nuclear activity in Iran, he would bomb them. And he said that's not a threat, that's a promise. So, I mean, the fact that he has this group of people speaking to him, I think, really does indicate where he would go with his foreign policy.
On Podoretz, is Giuliani's Mideast advisory group politically diverse and simply includes Norman Podoretz at one edge, or is he emblematic and at the heart of it?
From what I know, he is emblematic, that there is not a wide spectrum. I mean, I think when confronted about Podoretz's views on Iran, the Giuliani campaign has said, look, he listens to his advice, but he isn't going to do everything that he says. But he doesn't seem to have somebody that is sort of way to the left on Iran or even way to the center on Iran in his group of foreign policy advisors.
So who was really close to Rudy Giuliani when he was mayor? Who were his closest advisors and what kinds of worldviews did they have?
Well, you know, a lot of them are people that are still close to him now. There was his group of deputy mayors. There was Peter Powers, who ran his first campaign for mayor, although Peter Powers did have a falling out with Giuliani over the Christine Latigano alleged affair incident. But Peter Powers is back with him now. Randy Mastro, former deputy mayor, is with him now. Paul Crotty, who's his former corp counsel, is with him now. I mean, he does have a group of trusted people. And when he was mayor, he was criticized for surrounding himself with yes men, a sort of criticism that President Bush gets a lot, that people are only going to sort of praise him and tell him what he wants to hear and not encourage a vigorous debate. And it does seem that he is thus far relying on the same close circle, with the addition, interestingly, of the New Jersey Republican apparatus, which is very much at the top of his campaign and helping him run it. He also has, by the way, some people who were very close to Governor Pataki on his team, which is interesting because Pataki hasn't endorsed Giuliani, as Senator Alphonse D'Amato
right.
has not.
But do you think his possible inability to play well with others becomes a campaign issue at some point? I know, for example, that, you know, he had this close relationship with Bernard Kerik as police commissioner, but couldn't get along with Police Commissioner William Bratton, with whom he had this revolutionary success in crime fighting.
I think that it's a hard argument to make outside a big circle. I mean, I think people, when your top police commissioner gets indicted and your campaign is about security issues, that may cause some voters to do a double take. I mean, this is the man that he wanted to be in charge of the nation's homeland security. So I think that, you know, could mm-hmm. give people some pause. Whether his advisors are yes men, whether Hillary Clinton's advisors are yes women, I think that is something that may affect a certain swath of voters, but I don't know that goes way out onto
right.
the campaign trail.
And you know who else, and of course this is not going to mean anything nationally, but almost as a, you know, as a kicker, who else was a close Giuliani advisor, a deputy mayor, who's kind of a black sheep in New York right now? Randy Levine, who is now the Steinbrenner family's right-hand man with the Yankees, and he was the front man and considered largely responsible, I think his title is president of the Yankees, for deciding that Joe Torre should be fired.
I am not sure if Rudy Giuliani can be blamed for that. I don't. If memory serves, Randy Levine wasn't around all that long in the Giuliani administration and did go over to the Yankees while Giuliani was mayor.
One more clip from the Robertson-Giuliani news conference yesterday. Here, Robertson outlines the biggest challenges for the American people as he sees them.
To me, the overriding issue before the American people is the defense of our population from the bloodlust of Islamic terrorists. Our second goal should be the control of massive government waste and crushing federal deficits.
So I guess if you want to hire someone to get the bad guys, you hire Rudy Giuliani.
Well, that's what Pat Robertson believes.
Exactly. All right. The company he keeps, Rudy Giuliani, WNYC political director Andrew Bernstein. Thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, the debate in Congress over immunity for phone companies who cooperated with the warrantless wiretapping. Stay with us.